Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hi, Larry Sonnenberg here, sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And I don't know, can anybody hear me?
You're not Steve.
Yeah, I'm not Steve. But Steve is out today, and I'm sitting in. I have with me Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Joe Hubbard.
Hello.
Hi.
Good to have you here, Larry.
Yeah, we're glad.
Good to be with you guys. It's always enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Dave, I wanted to ask you, we just finished up Father's Day a couple days ago, and there are some folks that don't really haven't had a great experience with their dads. Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book that addresses that, Making Peace with Your Father. And say something about that book and how it could help somebody so that maybe next Father's Day they might have a different experience.
Well, two important things. One is that you don't involve your father in working through the issues.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with an internalized father. Mm-hmm. In your head. So whether he's alive or dead, he's still alive probably in your head.
Yeah.
And that you don't involve him.
You don't
directly.
Go to him and confront him,
no,
Dave?
No. All that does is make it worse.
Okay.
Because he's not going to listen to your confrontation. And the second thing is there's a workbook in the book.
Okay.
That takes you step by step through. First, one of the things that I try to do with the book was to describe the importance of a father at each stage of our growing up for both sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it's what do you do if there was failure along the way, and that's explained in the book. And then there's a workbook that takes you through a step-by-step process to make peace with your father,
okay.
The internal father.
Yeah.
And I did that 20 years after my father died, and that's where it came out of my own experience. And if he had been alive, I think maybe at the end I would have wanted to go and say, you know, I hardly know you, Dad. I'd like to spend some time with you getting to know you better. And he could have said, you're being silly, or he could say, no thanks, or he could have said anything, because at that point I didn't need anything from him, but I would have welcomed something from him if it was available.
Yeah. I had a good experience with my dad, but I have five older brothers, and my older two or three brothers didn't have much experience. Mm-hmm. That they were hurt. He was rough, harsh. They lived on a farm.
Yeah.
It was really tough. But my dad was – well, I had a wonderful experience with my dad. And
tired by the time you came along.
I think you're right.
Well, you men get softer as you get older, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Ask Ron to that.
So it's a better time to maybe approach.
I had a birthday card from my younger boy, Joe, and it cracked me up because he said some nice things about me being dad and what he's learned and such. But at the very end, he said, I'll never forget, after my Little League game, we went to Carl's Jr., and you belched the loudest burp I've ever heard. He said, I'll never forget that.
Of all the so unassuming, Larry, and then there it comes.
A young boy would love that. Dad is,
oh, yeah.
Just kind of one of us.
My gosh. The card made me cry, then it made me laugh. Oh, goodness. But, fathers are something. Mm-hmm. Something that is so important in our culture today and missing in too many places.
Oh,
you know,
they
try to minimize the role of the father to be politically correct so that single mothers don't feel bad about it. And they neglect all the research that's there that says when the father is absent, all kinds of things take place that are negative.
That is so true. And I have learned that over the years being a single mom, thinking initially, okay, I don't need him right?
Yeah.
Not because I wanted to not need him, but because he wasn't there. And then realizing, no, you know, there's really been some missing pieces and some voids.
Yeah, yeah. The kids need him, mm-hmm. or they need a substitute.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right. Yeah. They do.
Well, we're going to take your calls right after the break. So you hold on, and then we'll see what we can do to help you. We'll be back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. You know, we were just talking here at the break, and one of the things we just want to be real clear is Dave's book, Making Peace with Your Father. That's for you, whether you're a male or female, mm-hmm. whether you're the son
Not
or the daughter.
Not just for fathers and sons.
Yeah, it's a different experience mm-hmm. and a different response to issues with dad in daughters and sons, but we cover both in the book.
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, let's go right to the phones, and let's talk to Freeman in Bakersfield, California. He listens on a podcast. Hello, Freeman. How are you today?
I'm not doing too good, okay. and I was calling to get some advice.
Yes.
I guess before I move forward with the question, I have another question, because my wife asked me to ask about this, too, if this is the problem. We have an out-of-control teenager. My wife is insistent on saying that, I haven't been diagnosed with this, but I'm pretty sure I have it. That the reason the majority of the problems is because of my OCD and ADD. We have a teenage daughter, 16-year-old girl, who is completely out of control and using the F word drugs. She was at a party on Saturday. I didn't agree with her being there. We dropped her off. I got off to look at the party, and I saw a young man walking in there really wasted, and I got back in the car and told my wife, it was a high school party, I said, I don't agree with her being here. We left, we get home, I'm sitting there, very quiet and very serious, and my wife says, let's go pick her up, I don't feel bright either. So we go back, and that one young man that we saw walking in there drunk, or that I saw walking in there drunk, was passed out, half of his body in the middle of the street, the other half on the sidewalk. Mm. My wife gets off, goes into the party, tells the adult who's charging at the door that they have a drunk guy passed out on the street. My wife goes in and looks for my daughter. Can't find her. I see my daughter outside the party with her, one of her best friends who we already don't want around her, completely drunk out of her mind to the point that she couldn't even stand up. My daughter kept trying to pick her up and she'd fall to the ground. I get off the car. I try to grab my daughter and put her in the car, and she's fighting me, not physically, but fighting me verbally, like saying, no, I can't leave her here. And I call the cops to break up the party. In the process of the cops coming down there to the party, some girls that are about her age are mouthing off, using the F word towards my daughter and the B word, and my daughter's responding to them while she's trying to pick her friend off the ground. Mm-hmm. I jump in the middle, grab my daughter, and drag her to the car for her safety. I tell my wife, get in the car. We leave, And at that time, she's using the F word with me.
Okay, Freeman, Freeman, ask us a question. And, what's your question for Dave and Jen?
Well, I need to know what to do. I'm reaching out to her group leader at church today, who's a young adult, to have her come down to the house. I've taken her phone. We've told her that she can absolutely not ever hang around those girls again. She can never go to high school parties.
Okay, so your question.
We want to know what to do. I can't afford personal counseling. I'm reaching out to our pastor at church.
Okay.
And
so Dave and Joe, what can Freeman do to try to help get control of it?
One of the things that you got to start doing, Freeman, is spend some quality time with her. Take her out to breakfast and listen to her. Don't preach at her. Don't try to, you know, fix it. But listen to her. Find out what's going on. It may be the kind of kid she's around. It may be something that she's rebelling against. You want to enter into her life as much as you can and affirm her and understand her. And that's a starting point in every situation like that.
Yeah, I think that
I lose control.
Right.
Because I get so angry because
of course.
We have no control. She has no respect for us at all.
Freeman, I think, you know, so you're going through a really rough season. And, you know, let's remember that at this age, the teenage brain, it's at the peak of dopamine spike, which means it's all about pleasure and fun, and they're really poor decision making. So they really do need you to step in. And it is scary as a parent. And it's frightening how many parents just allow these things to go on. And so you're going to
I'm
be...
I'm terrified.
I know.
Terrified.
So instead of being...
I told my wife... I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I told my wife, if we had we not shown up, she probably could have been beat up or killed.
Well, that's the fear, right? And those things do happen. However, you know, we have to keep it in perspective. Otherwise, we get a little crazy. The majority of kids go through things like this and don't end up dead. However, we hear about the ones that do, right? And certainly we don't want that to happen to your daughter. I think if you just try to come in and control the behavior and take everything away from her in her life, that's not the best approach. What Dave is talking about is it has to be you have to get to her heart, because there has to be heart change, not just control and behavioral change. And so, you know,
I love her so much.
I know. So
I'm so terrified for my daughter.
Yes. So instead of coming out of a place, okay, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Reach out to her, spend time with her. I got that. I'm going to do that.
But I mean, really try to connect with where is her heart at?
I am.
Okay? And you can't just take every friend away from her, but you can limit her behavior, and I think you need to, and do some things that, you know, that get her attention and say, you know what? God has given you to us. We are your protectors, and we're going to take that very seriously. So I think you need to get in with anybody that you can, a youth pastor. Dave, you often recommend going to AA speaker meetings.
Yeah.
And there are young people's meetings, and I would go and take her, go as a family.
You get on the same page then about the alcohol.
Because that's free.
Well, also, I wonder where you, Freeman, I wonder if you and your wife are on the same page about your daughter.
Well, we're not, and I want her to hear this program. I'm going to play it for her whenever it airs. And like I told my wife, I would ask if it has to do with me. You know, I've been sober for almost 8 years now.
Okay.
I do have OCD. I know I have messed up as a parent, but I'm trying and...
Have you said that to your daughter? Kids really respond well to that kind of humility.
We've all messed up as parents, and the way it's designed to parent is there's a clause in there that says you're supposed to mess up, because that's just human sinfulness that it says nobody's going to do it. If you do it perfectly, you create a monster of a kid, and if you don't do it at all, you create a monster, a different kind of monster of a kid. But the key is not to take.
Can I ask a question, Dr. Jill?
Sure, go ahead.
You mentioned, and Dr. David Stoop as well said, mentioned spend time with her, let her open up, no matter how much anger there's there. Let her try to connect and just keep quiet. Is that what I should do? Is that what you're suggesting?
Listen.
If I understood correctly?
I think you have to talk less and listen more. And she may say horrible things, but you want to understand where she's at and where she's coming from, and let her know, you know, that you want to understand. Help me understand, because all I see is things that could, you know, harm you. So help me understand what it's like to be a teenager today, because obviously, you know, I was a teenager a while ago. And really, like Larry was saying too, you want to get behind her eyes first, because that will help you know how to intervene.
And I think it's important, Dave, you said take her out to breakfast. Do it.
Yeah, don't do it at home.
Don't do it at home. Take it out.
Public setting,
Don't get angry. Get sad. And cry with her.
One more question. Not limiting her to all her friends. We know one that she's okay to be with. Because her mom or aunt who's raising her, the friend, doesn't allow her to go to high school parties. The girls that she tends to get in trouble with, keep them away from her completely?
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to
do that
100%.
Well, I mean, other than outside of school, keep her away from those girls completely, the ones that she gets in trouble with?
For a period of time, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, and then no parties and...
Here's the
that's where she communicates.
Right. So here's the thing. You know, it's about you have to explain to teenagers that you understand that they want freedom. But the way you get freedom is by being trustworthy. And so when you're not trustworthy and when you're making poor choices, what you're saying to your parents is that you need us to come in closer to help guide you, to help you learn to be trustworthy. And so the more trustworthy she is, the more freedom she gets. And then you outline some ways in which she can become trustworthy, being where she's supposed to be, not hanging out with the wrong people, not drinking, not doing the things you don't want her to do. But make it something that she can be successful at.
Yeah, thank you for your call. That's a tough situation. Raising kids.
It's tough. I mean, I've struggled with my own and have gone through some of this recently where, you know, my son still doesn't have a bedroom door on his room, you know, because privacy is a privilege, right?
We'll take your call right after the break, Jill.
Yeah, that's right.
But what should we send Freeman in the way of a book?
How we love our kids?
Oh, that's
good. Or Boundaries with Teens, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
Boundaries with Teens.
Yeah.
We're
going to
send that to
really
you.
Good.
Okay, thanks, Freeman. Okay, let's see.
It's so important that you find out the why and root of thing. If they don't respect the parents, it's probably, Jill, you were right on. It was probably because the parents aren't on the same page. And we didn't make that point strong enough that
on the same page. And it's unfortunate he says they can't afford counseling. But maybe sometimes counseling with other couples who, you know, have gone through some of this and maybe have had some success.
Or get the youth pastor.
And keep
right, or go to Al-Anon for Parents.
Mm-hmm. And keep listening to this
program. Keep listening, yes.
Okay, let's talk with Sarah in Casper, Wyoming. This is on Sirius XM. Hello, Sarah. How can we help you today?
Hi. Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history here, but I've been married to my husband for a little over 11 years now, and we have two children. He drinks and I don't. I had quit drinking almost 5 years ago. He goes through periods where it's about once every month that I see that he will blow up and rage, and it used to be directed at me until I told him about a year or so ago that if he kept doing it, I was going to leave. Then it slowly kind of started turning on towards my son, our oldest son. I told him a couple months ago, and I've asked several times before that for him to come to marriage counseling with me, and he refuses. A couple months ago, I told him that if he didn't agree to counseling, then I wanted a separation. And I gave him 3 weeks to think it over, and he ended up refusing. But during that time, he started going to church. So I thought, well, that's something. And so I didn't leave. But just within the last week, he's blown up at my son over a haircut. And my son is he's a good kid. But he's blown up at him and cursed and screamed at him about he can do whatever he wants in his own house. And he was using curse words and in front of both of our children. And the other one is 7. And then he turned around a couple days later when he figured out that I was upset that he'd blown up at my child. He turned around and told me that he apologized to our son over the haircut because he actually ended up going and kind of buzzing his hair off. But
okay, Sarah,
he left out the part that he...
We've got just a few seconds before the break. Could you ask a question, then we'll come back after the break and answer it? What question would you ask?
So he told us, I want to know if I should stay or leave.
Okay, stay or leave in your marriage. One quick question, is your son... You have a son that is yours, and then you have another child that's both of yours?
No, they're both ours.
They're both yours. Okay. That wasn't clear.
Yeah.
Both ours.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dave and Joe will figure it out and get back with you right after the break. We're going to be here 2 more hours, so please keep calling 800-229-3000, and we'll be back right after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back, and we're talking to Sarah. And Sarah is asking Dave and Jill if she should stay in her marriage. Her husband is angry a lot and rage. So what do you think, Dave and Jill?
Well, I'm assuming that you've had lots of conversations with him up to this point, to the point where the only thing you feel left to do is to say, I'm going to leave. And that does seem to get his attention. I think it would be, you know, something to say to him that, you know, leaving would not be your first choice. But if he refuses all, you know, attempts that you make at trying to better your marriage and your family, then really he's saying that, you know, that's what he wants you to do. Like he's passively kind of going along with the fact that, you know, you would leave, because for you to stay in a situation and allowing him to rage, it sounds like, Sarah, that's just unacceptable. And it is unacceptable.
Especially when it's affecting the kids or it's directed at the kids.
You have to step in and protect the kids.
And you got to take a stand that doesn't get renounced when he goes to church with you or something, because as good as that is, it's not going to change him. So there's got to be some understanding and some insight.
Well, right, because again, it's passive. We want him to go to church. We want him to learn, and we pray for a changed heart. But it's a passive engagement, and he needs some of his issues dealt with directly.
Yeah.
So I would let him know how much you appreciate his efforts at going to church, and that's a step in the right direction. However, it's not enough. It's not enough.
And it's been shown to be not enough because he lost it again.
Right.
There's father issues involved with him, probably, because he's...
Well, and he just told our son just a couple days after the rage, he apologized for the haircut being so short, but then he turned around in the same conversation and said that the reason that Kim and I fight, my husband and I fight, is because of our son. So he...
He told your son that?
Our 14-year-old
child. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's damaging.
And he drinks quite a bit. He's kind of stopped, but my son said that he drinks more than what I see him doing.
That's always the case.
He is a very passive man. I've thought to myself that what he's waiting for is for me to leave, because he doesn't want to be
the bad guy. Right. But he is being the bad guy by being angry. And you know, I think you also, if you haven't already, need to say to him that you understand that when his anger starts, it's like lighting a match and he can't reel it back in. And that's why you keep asking for him to get help, because you believe he has good intentions, but you don't believe he's capable of following through on those intentions once the match is struck. Because it's, you know, it's a reaction of powerlessness.
And you need some help with support, Sarah. And so Al-Anon would be a perfect place for you to go and let him know that you're going, because you want help for yourself. I don't know if you went through AA when you became sober or not, but most people who go through AA at some point need to go to Al-Anon.
Right, yeah, you need to switch over.
All of us are codependent to some degree.
Well, right. Sarah, thank you for calling us. I was just wondering if we should send a Life Recovery Bible for her to give to him. Maybe he would.
Well, she could use it too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That
Let's send
would
a Life
be
Recovery
good.
Bible.
Yeah.
Before we go to our next caller, I just want to encourage folks to support New Life financially. We need your support. We are a nonprofit. We depend upon donations. We've talked a lot about that lately. If you make a gift of any kind this month, we're going to send you a copy of a devotional, a 100-day devotional that Steve Arterburn wrote. It's called 100 Days of Prayer. And we hope and think that that book alone will help you, and your gift will help us. You know, today we were blessed this morning in the morning mail. Somebody who was a Club New Life supporter gives $65 a month. They opened up the envelope. There's a $10,000 check inside.
Oh,
wow,
my gosh.
And
wow.
I just want to encourage
thank you.
Other $65 a month givers. Would you do the same? I know not everybody can do
Christmas
that.
Christmas in summer, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say just how encouraging that is, how helpful that is. Mm-hmm. People like the callers to this program receive the help they do because you make a gift, whether you're $10,000 or your $30 a month giver, whatever it is. And Club New Life, if you could help us by joining Club New Life. You know, we have projected that our need this year are 6 Club New Life members a day. So if you'd be willing to be one of those 6 today, it will make a difference. We can grow our base of support so we could take a radio call instead of taking this time to appeal for money on our program. Club New Life, we give you an 8-book series, the Arterburn Wellness Series, and you get access to the Club New Life video library. Mm-hmm. Dave and Jill have each contributed to that, as have all the
That's
other.
That's all worth more than what's being given
it really
at
is.
Times.
So we need your support. So I just wanted to make that appeal to you. Can't make it enough, because it's what keeps this ministry going. And the testimonies, the hearts and the lives that are changed, it's indescribable. Mm-hmm. And it's because you support this ministry. So thank you for doing that. We're going to take some more calls right after this. And I want to remind you, we are on 2 more hours. So just keep calling 800-229-3000 so we can take those calls. And what else about the finances? Just please.
There's always please. More about it, right?
Yeah, there is.
Well, it's summertime.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
It's a difficult time.
It's, typically, we'll slow down, but we trust that you're going to help us keep that from happening. So we'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours could change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things we want you to know about. First, New Life is returning to Israel March 16th through the 26th. It's an amazing experience whether you've been there before or this is your first time. You'll have the opportunity to be baptized in the Jordan River, experience the Western Wall on the evening of the Sabbath, see where Saul was in pursuit of David, and so much more. And the radio hosts will be giving talks each day to help you apply God's truth to your life. If you want more information or to register, just visit newlife.com, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 639-5433. And if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You'll get special offers, connection, and encouragement. Larry, back to you.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. We want to go right and talk to Isaac. He's in Anchorage, Alaska, and he watches us on NRB TV. Hello, Isaac. How can we help you today?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes. I'm a Christian. I go to church and, you know, I go out and, you know, invite people to come to church and, you know, all that good stuff, what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But this morning I just need to confess my sin because I have looked upon a woman wrongfully, and I have looked on pornography, and I ask God to forgive me for it, and I just need to really confess it, you know, like, You know, I don't want the sin to be unforgiving, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you have two experts in forgiveness sitting on either side of me, so how can you help Isaac sense his forgiveness?
Yeah,
well, it's one thing to have forgiveness, Isaac. It's another thing to treat the underlying issues mm-hmm. and come to terms with the pornography so that it doesn't continue. It all too easily becomes an addiction. And
yes.
It sounds like that's already happening with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's why I need to...
Yeah, you sound really conflicted about it.
Yeah,
I don't feel so good about it
when
I do it. You know.
And that's good. That means your heart is sensitive. You know, you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you know right from wrong. But there's something that's fueling that for you,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, we keep repeating the same sins.
Yeah, and I think it's my pride. My pride is, you know, too much to the point where, you know, I say to myself, you know, it's just that feeling, my pride, it gets the best of me. And that's something that I need to really, like, just come up clean and,
okay.
you know.
Well, the pride.
You know, just, you know.
The pride isn't what's causing you to do the lustful things mm-hmm. or to go look at pornography, but that's what might help you cover it up or not want to talk about it. I mm-hmm. would...
Right, because the other side of pride is usually shame.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like a coin of two sides, and you flip back and forth. When you feel the shame, you flip then into the pride to bolster yourself.
And then that mm-hmm. sets you up to repeat the cycle again.
I wish that you would come to our Everyman's Battle Workshop.
Yeah.
And when we finish with the call, we'll ask the phone screener to transfer you over to somebody who can talk to you about that in more detail okay. than we would take the time here to do.
Yeah, I think that's, Isaac, that's really your best chance at breaking through this and really identifying the underlying issues yeah. so that you can have freedom and success. Because, you know, I can hear it in your voice. You're very sincere, but I bet that this is a cycle of falling into it and then apologizing or, you know, confessing to the Lord, asking for forgiveness. And now you're publicly confessing, right? Hoping that maybe this will do it this time. And yet, unless you really dig in, you're not going to be able to just stop the behavior.
This will help for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll, because confession is a biblical principle.
Yes, it is. It's not that it doesn't do any good.
But it doesn't get at the root of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, especially when it's an addiction.
Yeah.
And the Everyman's Battle Weekend is a powerful in terms of providing the insight and the understanding mm-hmm. and the release from it. We're going to send you the book, too, Every Man's Battle.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Larry, you have said many times, you go to everyone and you see the transformations
it's
that
amazing.
Happen.
It's amazing. Guys don't know what to expect when they get there. And mm-hmm. whatever it is they expect, I tell them right at the workshop at the opening, you're going to experience something you had no idea what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beggar was looking for coins when Peter and John walked through the gates of the temple at prayer time. Instead, he was crippled. Instead, Peter reached down and grabbed his hand and said, "Gold or silver I have none, but what I have I give to you. Stand up and walk." And not only did he stand up and walk, it says his legs were straightened and he was healed. He was jumping for joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the guys, the reason I like that story is he came expecting one thing,
mm-hmm.
and he got something totally different. And that's what happens to the guys
something
at the workshop.
Something so much better.
It's so much deeper and
yeah.
real, and it's not just a Band-Aid over something. It's mm-hmm. getting to the root of the
and
problem.
And Isaac, that's what we want for you. We don't just want a Band-Aid for you.
So thank you for calling, Isaac. We will we'll send you those books.
And stay on the line.
Yep. Yeah, stay on the line, and we'll help you out. Okay, let's go to, oh my gosh, let's go to Jack on line, what is it, line 8. Hello, Jack, how can we help you?
Hey, I got a kind of complicated question, at least I think it's complicated. First off, I want to start off by saying almost 8 years ago, I was born again, saved. I was an alcoholic, went to the altar. Within 2 days, I gave up drinking over a liter of alcohol a day and chewing tobacco, and I haven't looked back since. Jesus took that away from me.
Wow.
And,
good
I just wanted to share that with everybody that, you know, you don't have to go through the 12-step program. You just go through the one-step program with Jesus Christ, and he'll take care of it.
That works sometimes, but not every time.
Right. Yeah, you are probably more the exception, Jack. Yeah. And I have heard stories like yours, and it's wonderful when God does that and that he's removed that craving for alcohol. You know, but still, in addition to that, then there's the process of rebuilding a person's character. Because when you're living a life doing drugs or alcohol, you know, you don't grow emotionally the way you're supposed to. And so there's a lot of lost time, lost years, and kind of voids in a person's maturity. And so you need that process to follow. And so even though it's miraculous, you know, to be freed of the substances, don't overlook the need to do the work that follows it up.
Well, what's your question, Jeff?
I was blessed. My question is whether I have grounds for divorce, because I don't want to displease God. And let me tell you what's going on. I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I stay in the Word every day with this radio station and audio books. My wife, of 11 years of marriage, had a friend, girlfriend, come down from 1,100 miles away, pack her stuff up, and she didn't tell me anything about it. I found out a few days later from a friend, and she will not communicate with me a couple times through email, or and she's just went off the deep end as far as I told her this is not of God. Why are you doing this? You know, just tell me what's going on. She's got another job living with this other woman in another state. And am I just stuck to be married to her? Or because my understanding in the Bible is unless she's committed adultery, that, you know, I have to stay married. I thought she was a believer. She said she was saved. But we kind of grew apart. I got further into the Word and felt like I was kind of dragging her along. And so that's
Jack,
where I'm at.
Do you know what kind of relationship this is with this other woman?
You know, I'm not sure. Her daughter told me, and she lives down here by us. We moved down to Georgia a few years back, and she said that her first husband, she did the same thing with the same woman, just up and left. I didn't know that. I thought they were just friends. She said she thought there was something else going on, but I don't know that to be true.
Well, you don't have to know.
My wife's 57 years old. This other woman's 60 years old. I'm 52, so, I mean, not like we're 25, 35 years old and that's the main focus in our lives, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to have exact evidence, Jack, because there's something strange going on with this other woman, and there are people who do this and they do it out of the blue where they just get up and leave, and that's the end.
We'll be right back, Jack. Jack, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Dave, you had something you wanted to say to Jack.
Jack, I have a looser interpretation of Matthew 19 than some people do, and I get in trouble sometimes for it. But where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, Moses gave you the right to granted you the right to divorce because of your hard-heartedness. But I say to you, unless somebody commits a porneo, which is some kind of betrayal in adultery, you have no basis for it. I don't think he negates the hard-heartedness. I think he adds to it. And I've never seen a marriage in all my years of counseling restored when there's hard-heartedness. But I've seen lots of marriages restored when there's been adultery. And we can say that your wife has abandoned you. That's a very accurate statement. And you're not sure that she's a real believer or not. So the unbeliever that abandons you is another basis for making
right.
divorce. Okay.
But I would just also add to that it's important, I think, that we not just look for an out, right, in a situation and mm-hmm. use that as an excuse, but that we've really made an attempt to try everything we can to possibly restore a marriage and connect.
And not err on the other side either, where
right.
we keep doing it.
Well,
and
right,
doing
indefinitely,
it,
mm-hmm, right.
Beating a dead horse. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's a balance place in there where we take it seriously. And
absolutely.
It sounds like you take it very seriously, Jack. And then there's that sense of which we can stand for our marriage. I've had people do that when the other person has gone on and remarried and has children and everything, and they're still standing for their marriage, which mm-hmm. is kind
when
of...
Once the vows are broken, the marriage is over.
Marriage is over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jack, we recognize the tough spot you're in. I hope
yeah.
this advice is helping. What can we send Jack, do you think?
Take your life back.
I was thinking that, too.
Oh, that
affirmation.
That would be a good
okay.
one.
We will send you that. I want to go to Renee in Denver. This is on KRKS. Hello, Renee. How can we help you?
Hi. I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. And I am a Club Life member.
Thank you.
Yay.
All right. Love that.
I love you guys. You've helped me out tremendously. I'm going to ask a question, and then you can get some background. I am wondering if I should stop letting my 5-year-old granddaughter see her mom. Hmm.
Okay. And why would you want to do that?
Well, my daughter has suffered from addiction. I actually calculated the years, 20 years. She's 32 years old. My husband and I adopted her first child. He is almost 16, and she has been in several different treatment centers, been in prison 4 times. This last time, she was in a treatment center for almost a year. 8 months into that treatment center, she started using Cranium. She got caught, and 2 weeks before she was supposed to graduate the program, they kicked her out. She came wow. back to my house, and I've had her daughter. I had to mm-hmm. take her to court and take custody of her daughter because her main drug is methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. And she's at my house. She started using Cranium at my house. And then we were going to kick her out, and she cried, and we let her stay. And then I just found out yesterday that she is now smoking marijuana. So My son also started cutting when she left on a relapse one time. And my fear is I don't want to let her in, out of my granddaughter's life now and repeat the same thing, because I'm not too sure. She's dating the boyfriend that she was smoking meth with. Apparently he's sober, but he lives in a garage and has no car.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I think, Renee, that the principle is when someone is in recovery and doing well, you give them every bit of support you can give them. When they're using, you don't give them any support. And so I would vote for saying you keep her away from the daughter and
supervised visits at the very most, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she shouldn't be left alone with the daughter.
No, and you know, I'm just seeing some behavior that I'm really uncomfortable with. I told her today that she had till Monday to leave my home, and my granddaughter got really upset. She kind of witnessed this, and I just told my granddaughter that mommy is sick and she needs to get some help, but that we're gonna, she's been with my husband and I since she was 8 months. Yeah. So she's had a really, we're both in recovery. I've been sober for 3.5 years. And I've completed a 12-step AA program, and I sponsor now, and I have been in Al-Anon for 2 years, and I am now going through those steps. Oh. So,
and you know the principles.
Yeah.
I do, and I know what I need to do. It's just really difficult. I really have a hard time.
Yeah,
well,
of course.
It is difficult, yeah.
When it's up close and personal, it makes it really hard.
But I think Dave and Jill really affirmed that you know what to do, and that,
you,
that's
you do.
What you
and so draw
do.
Support from your community. And, you know, I think that's right. She needs to be in recovery and on a right path to have ongoing, you know, contact with her daughter. And yet her daughter does know who she is. And so, you know, I mean, I imagine there's going to be contact over the years. And it sounds like you're saying some good things to your 5-year-old, you know, letting her know that mommy is just struggling. Mommy's not well now, right? And we pray for mommy, pray for her to make better choices.
Well, Renee, thank you for calling. Let's send a Life Recovery Bible.
Sounds good.
I think if maybe you have one, but somebody else can use it, your daughter could use it, but that's a great Bible. You know, speaking of Bible, I want to close up with the word of scripture here and a couple of comments just about further support. But here's the Bible verse that I wanted to read this morning as we close. God's promise of entering his rest still stands, so we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. So I just love that passage about rest, because how often and how much the callers today, and I think of Freema, that he just didn't have a feeling of rest at all.
No. And, very unsettled.
Rest is there for us. God promises that.
In spite of the circumstances.
Absolutely. And in the midst of the circumstances, he can give us rest.
Right.
And it says you need to believe in order to get his rest as he desires it for us. So I just want to encourage those of you that don't believe to think about taking that step and crossing over to putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, because that can make all the difference. I love what Steve says. If you were a weirdo before you believed in God or in Jesus, after you take that step and say you want to put your trust in him, you're still going to be a weirdo. So there's a character development that needs to go on along the way. But I just want to encourage you, find that rest in God. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you to help others find that rest, and you can do that by sending a gift of support to New Life, because our purpose of what we do here is helping people find transformation. We want them to experience Romans 12:2, which says to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by changing the way you think. And that's what this whole ministry, radio program, counseling network, books, workshops, everything we do is about that. Mm-hmm. So if you can get behind that and you can support us, like Renee, our last caller, said she's a club New Life
and
member.
Isn't it fun? It's like you feel a sense of connection with those people
like, hey, this
who
is
are
family
part of the
we're
family.
Talking to.
Family.
Yeah.
So thank you for being our family. If you're on the line, please keep holding. We'll be here two more hours. Call 800-229-3000, and Dave and Jill will continue to answer those calls. So we'll be back tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, as long as you're
Lord
sending
willing.
Your support. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.